Bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible. The Bible is the plenary verbal inspiration. Plenary verbal inspiration, what does that mean? Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration is God-breathed. The Greek word God breathed means that God breathed out his words over a period of approximately 1500 years. He chose and prepared men of God who wrote them down to give us the holy scriptures that we have, the word of God. An example would be just as a musician breathes into a trumpet to produce the notes, so God breathed into 40 chosen writers of the books of the Bible the exact words that he wanted preserved for all mankind. And the Bible clearly reveals that God is the author of the Bible. In Psalm 68:11, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Hebrews 1:1, God spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in words which are man's wisdom teaching, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And Galatians 1:11 and 12, but I certify you, brothers, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. In addition, let's look at this amazing scripture in 2 Peter 1:16-21. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter says right here, they saw him. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This was a recount by Peter of the transfiguration of Jesus. Back to the scripture. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, where you do well that you take heed as into a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star rises in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:16-21. Here, this scripture clearly states that it was inspired, moved, God breathed into holy men of God, and they wrote the Holy Scriptures. Now, this is not the kind of inspiration that would apply to different meanings. We are not, you know, people are inspired to write novels or musical scores or so on. This is not this kind of inspiration. This is uniquely God the Holy Spirit inspired, breathed into men, and it cannot be duplicated by man. Now we are laying the foundation for the verbal inspiration of the Bible, that the words in the Bible are breathed by God. In the words of C.H. Spurgeon, this Bible is the writing of the living God. Each letter was penned with an almighty finger, each word in it dropped from the everlasting lips. Each sentence was dictated by the Holy Spirit. Verbal means the words or word for word, and it means the very words of the Bible were breathed by God. It is it is important that you understand what the plenary verbal inspiration means, that we believe that it is the very words God breathed through holy men that he chose to write down as the Spirit of God dictated to them. It is the exact words of Scripture were given by God. 2 Samuel 23:2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord spake to me, and his word was in my tongue." 1 Corinthians 2:13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which a man's wisdom teaches, but in the words which the Holy Ghost teaches." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 again. The word Scripture, graphe, in 2 Timothy 3:16 means the actual writings of God's word. That Scripture means that it is the writings themselves are the actual words of God, and they were God breathed. Now in Matthew 5:16, it says, "For verily I say unto you," Jesus said, "until heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled." The jot is the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the tittle is the smallest appendage. It's like a little hook between two similar looking letters in the alphabet. Often, liberal teachers want to minimize God's part in the writing of Holy Scriptures and will state that the human writers were mere robotic automatons. And they ridicule the idea that God dictated by the Holy Spirit the very words. And by so doing, they minimize the divine inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. Scholars such as Calvin and Moorfield, Spurgeon, Galson, Rice, Prius, Gordon, often have used the word dictation in referring to the word-for-word use of the Scriptures. Liberals have ridiculed the concept of verbal dictation, calling it mechanical dictation. But a secretary never becomes a robot when she's dictating for her boss the words. The faculties of all these writers were clearly engaged. They were not suspended. It says, Robert Prius says, "The Holy Spirit actually supplied, inspired, and dictated the very words and each and every term individually." Spurgeon said each sentence was dictated by the Holy Spirit. John Calvin said, "The law and the prophets are not a doctrine delivered according to the will and pleasure of men, but dictated by the Holy Spirit." Abraham Kuloff says he, Paul, wrote this 2 Timothy 3:16 by the dictation of the Holy Spirit. It is not a mechanical dictation. Plenary verbal inspiration. Plenary means full. Every word of the Bible is God-breathed. The whole Bible is inspired, and every word is breathed out by God. This is the claim of the Bible itself. Therefore, we affirm that the historical parts of the Bible are as accurate as the parts that explain salvation, as the parts that deal with the scientific description. Christians believe what the Bible claims. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4, "Every word of God is pure." Proverbs 35, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." 2 Timothy 3:16. The plenary verbal inspiration is a correct view because it is God's view. And the Word of God is eternal and different from any other book given to man. It's eternal, which means from eternity past to eternity future. It is unique. It did not originate gradually over 1,500 years. It originated from the mind of God from the beginning. "For I ever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens." Psalm 119:89. "Concerning thy testimonies I have known of old that you have founded them forever." Psalm 119:152. "The word is true. Thy word is true from the beginning." Psalm 119:16. "By thy word of the Lord endures forever." 1 Peter 1:25. The word of God, the Bible is the only book inspired by God. He's given 66 books by 40 different human writers over the past 1,500 years. It is the only book on earth that is God-breathed. The last apostle, John, wrote the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, and that was the closing of the books of the scriptures. Many people have died for these holy scriptures. We should be willing to live for them. I just want to segue a little bit over to the biblical Hebrew words. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all law be fulfilled. Matthew 5:18. Hebrew is the language of the Old Testament scriptures, and it is one of the oldest living Semitic language, in addition to which Arabic is also in the category of Semitic languages. From the descendants of Noah's sons, Shem, these were the Semites. They invented the alphabet, making it possible to write a book. As with all languages, they change and morph, and Hebrew is no different, because Abraham journeyed through Ur of the Chaldees into Haran and then Palestine. He encountered different types of Semitic languages and was influenced by them, and it added to his vocabulary. And he expanded the language through his son, and this became the ancient language of the Jewish people. You will see that the scriptures, the holy scriptures, if you take the different books in the original language, the oldest book is Job. And in the book of Job, the language is almost hieroglyphic. It's called Paleo-Hebrew. And the different books that were written in different times, you can see the changes in the ancient Hebrew language of how the Hebrew developed. God inspired Moses and other Jews to write the Old Testament, and they were translated transliterated directly from other Semitic languages. The Hebrew language consists of 22 consonants. Unlike the English language, Hebrew is read from right to left and from back to front. Genesis, for example, would be found at what we would consider the back of the Hebrew Bible. And the first letter of the Hebrew Bible is Aleph, and the last letter is Tav. Aleph, Tav. And as I said before, a jot is the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And tittle is, it differentiates, it's the small appendages, it separates. So here we have the Hebrew alphabet, the Aleph and the Tav. It goes Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He, Ve, Zayin, Heth, Teth, Yod, Kaf, Lamed, Mem, Num, Samik, Ayin, Peh, Sasa, Kof, Resh, Sin, and Tav. And who is the Aleph and the Tav? The Alpha and the Omega, Yeshua, the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh. Yeshua. As it says in 1 John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the Word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. I'm now going to read some quotations of great Bible scholars who believed in the verbal inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. Let's start with MacIntosh. If the words Godhead, election, redemption, imputation, regeneration, propitiation, sacrifice, atonement, faith, repentance, justification, sanctification, adoption, resurrection, heaven, hell, etc. were not inspired and infallible, then everything essential to Christian faith and life may be only old wives' fables. Without certainty and divine authority in the words of Scripture, it is patently impossible to believe in the things or even to know the will of God for our salvation. Let's look at R. Laird Harris. It is safe to say that there is no doctrine which has been so widely held through the ages of church history as that of the verbal inspiration. John Theodore Mueller, since the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, they evidently wrote not their own words, but those, in quotations, words which God himself put into their minds. Theodore Engelder, Scripture wants us to receive all its words as words chosen by God, and therefore expressing the thought so perfectly and infallibly as only God can express it. Clark H. Pinnock, verbal inspiration is at the heart of what inspiration means. The words which are written in Scriptures are the words of God himself. Lorraine Botner, that the inspiration should extend to the very words seems most natural, since the purpose of inspiration is to secure an infallible record of truth. Thoughts and words are so inseparably connected that as a rule, a change in word means a change in thought. John Gill, let it be observed that not the matter of the Scriptures only, but the very words in which they are written are of God. Francis Piper, inspiration does not consist in mere divine guidance and protection against error, but it is a divine supplying or divine giving of the very words that constitute Scriptures. J.I. Packer, if the words were not holy gods, then their teaching would not be holy gods. Benjamin B. Warfield, just as far as the thoughts of Scripture relating to any element or topic whatsoever are inspired, the words in which those thoughts are expressed must be inspired also. Every element of Scripture, whether doctrine or history, of which God has guaranteed the infallibility, must be infallible in its verbal expression. B. H. Carroll, it has always been a matter of profound surprise to me that anybody should ever question the verbal inspiration of the Bible. The Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, the only book inspired by God himself.